In 2008, like so many college graduates, Ellen Knuth was looking for a job. But unlike many grads, Ellen found a job more than 6,000 miles away from her home in Michigan. She went to Japan to teach English. All her mother could do was hope and worry from afar.
I didn't know anything about Japan. I didn't know anyone who lived there. And so there was no advice I could give her. And there really wasn't anything for me to nag her about anymore. It was like, all I could do was listen. All they could say is, what's going on?
Jane Knuth now has Ellen back home in Michigan. And together they've written the new book, Love Will Steer Me True, a mother and daughter's conversations on life, love, and God. Cynthia sat down with the authors earlier this week.
Jane, you and Ellen share your story, it seems to me, viewed through several filters. There's the parent watching a child begin to make her own way. There's the way that you discovered and learned from the Japanese culture and the traditions. And then the spiritual worries that you had as a Catholic mom, very, very worried her daughter might not continue her faith journey. Which of these was most important to you?
Well, at different times when she was there over all 5 years. So this is all in her early 20s, and she's really gone very far away from me at a young age. And so I'm worried about all those at different times over those years. But when she first leaves and she tells me that there is no church in her town, and in fact, the nearest one is 2 hours by train, and that the Christian population of Japan is 1%, I'm like, That really struck me as she's so isolated. She's so away from a community of faith. And so that was where I was really didn't know how to deal with that.
And that's where lessons were certainly learned from what you saw and what Ellen experienced in Japan. Ellen, what were your biggest apprehensions and worries as you headed off on this big adventure? Or were you just so full of this excitement, I'm going, that you didn't think about it till you got there?
I think as a new graduate, I was worried about entering the working world. And so I was really much more focused on, I've got this job, but can I do it? I know I passed the rigorous testing and all of the interviews for the JET program, which is run through the consulate in Detroit. But I wasn't quite as convinced as the people who were hiring me that I was actually going to be able to teach English. So that was much more of a consuming concern for me than where am I going to say my morning prayers? That didn't really occur to me as a problem.
I'd like, if I could ask you, Jane, to read us an excerpt from your book, Love Will Steer Me True. And this is the part where you and your husband, Dean, you're seeing Ellen off at Detroit Metro Airport. And this is where I'd say it's very clear that you are quite concerned for her spiritual well-being.
Yeah, we're all standing there and waiting for her to board. And so I'm thinking this to myself in the book. I'm thinking, Ellen Marie was born on August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. It's one of those feasts that non-Catholic Christians find suspicious because of its scarce biblical foundations. The feast is based on 2,000 years of Catholic tradition passed from generation to generation. I am part of those generations, and I feel the obligation to pass on this truth. This is part of the issue between my generation and Ellen's. Now I pull the rosary out of my pocket, and I hand it to Ellen. I know you packed yours. Here, take this for the flight. This string of beads is what Catholics use to meditate on the events of Jesus' life through the eyes of his mother Mary. It's a symbol of what I really want to give my daughter, except God isn't giftable. God is not an object, nor is God an idea. God is a being. I can introduce these two to each other, but I can't start their conversation. Ellen pockets the beads and doesn't argue. She is kind-hearted. As soon as you can, find a church, okay? I tell her. We talked about this, Ma. That's not going to be possible. The coordinator of the program told me that the nearest Christian church is 2 hours away by bullet train, remember? Still, there must be some kind of church in your town. There are always Buddhist temples and Shinto shrines, lots of them. Don't worry, I'll be fine. Two other families join us in the open space in front of the barriers. Ellen greets a young woman approximately her age whom we have met before. She's another eager Midwesterner who is seeking her future in the Far East. They both turn and wave happily to a young man who has one arm over the shoulders of his teary-eyed mother. I know how that mother feels. I will not look at her or I may end up the same sniffling mess. I will send my daughter out the door with faith. She will have my rosary, not my tears.
That's writer Jane Knuth of West Michigan as she reads an excerpt from the memoir she co-wrote with her daughter Ellen. The title, Love Will Steer Me True, A Mother and Daughter's Conversations on Life, Love, and God. Ellen, how did those worries your mom expressed strike you as you were trying to, you know, fly away?
Well, I think rationally I knew they were coming from a place of love, but it really stressed me out because one of the whole reasons I was jumping at this chance to get this job and to move so far away was I really wanted to become that responsible adult that I knew my parents had put 20 plus years in raising me to be. So to have her again express her worries, even through the guise of prayer, made me feel like maybe this wasn't going to be possible for me to convince them that I was a fully capable tax-paying citizen. And that was all I was really aiming for. I think all a lot of 20-somethings are aiming for. So it added to the tensions.
I'm wondering what kinds of things began to happen and then continued to happen through your time in Japan that helped you to both see that you were both growing, not only in your mother and daughter relationship, but also spiritually.
The conversations we had were healing in some ways. There was some part of our relationship that kind of was not right before she left. It was this, she's trying to pull away, she's trying to be a grown-up. And so when she finally got there and settled in and she started telling us about the people she was meeting and the students she was teaching, and that was fun. That was nice. It was like, finally, she's someplace where she's happy. And people would say, are you worried about her over there? And I would say, well, I would rather she was there and happy than here and unhappy. So even though you hear my worries in the book, It's mostly silent in my head worries. I didn't really pour them out all over the place.
Ellen, the excerpt I'd like you to share with us is when you headed up to the disaster zone to help in cleanup of a small fishing village that had been absolutely devastated. And lo and behold, it's your birthday. What birthday was this?
So this was my 26th birthday, I believe. And unfortunately, my birthday in Japan, though it isn't a religious day of observation, is the Day of the Dead. And so everything closes down. People are with their families. And so I just decided, since there wasn't much else to do, I would go and volunteer in the tsunami zone. The ocean stretches out black and calm, the moon reflected in a silvery trail that seems to reach for me. The only light comes from the building behind me and from the stars. The whole area is in complete darkness. Far away in the hills, I can see the shrine and the shine coming from the surviving parts of the town, the mountaintop housing areas. But the lowlands are blanketed in a blue-purple shadow. It's beautiful, I think, and then immediately feel horrible. Here I am, admiring the same ocean that killed thousands of people less than half a year before. I forgive myself for my thoughts. It's my birthday, after all. My birthday, August 15th, the Japanese Day of the Dead. When I planned the volunteer trip to encompass this personally important day, I justified my decision by reminding myself that there's not really anything else to do on this day. Japan shuts down. May as well put myself to good use. The waves lap gently at the rocks far below me, and I lean over the side of the rock pool to see them. I'm surprised to find the water full of flowers. Not just wildflowers, but beautiful bouquets, dozens of them, advancing and retreating with the tidal waters. They're not only directly below me, but all along the shore, as far as I can see. How odd, I think. And then the meaning hits me. Thousands are still missing from Minami-san-niku, and since the bodies haven't been found, must be presumed dead. During the Bon Festival, in which surviving family members are duty-bound to honor the deceased, the usual gathering spot is the graveyard, but those are gone too, washed out to sea. So these survivors, these bereaved, have no choice but to throw their offerings, with their love, into the ocean, hoping they will reach the resting place of their loved ones. It takes my breath away.
That's writer Ellen Knuth of Clinton Township reading an excerpt from the memoir she co-wrote with her mom, Jane. What do you each think were the biggest maybe do's and don'ts that you learned from your experience, both for parents and for kids? I'll let you start, Mom.
the biggest mistake I made, I think, was to always be worried. And my husband kind of pulled me away from that. He says, just don't. Just stop. Stop worrying. And so I went into prayer instead, and I really improved my prayer life. You know, I lit candles and did novenas, and then I just didn't express my worries so much to her, and that made it easier for us to talk. She doesn't want to know what I'm worried about. That doesn't help her, you know? Yeah. It just does not help. She's got an adult viewpoint, and she knows where the problems are.
And it is her life.
Yeah, it's her life.
What about you from the daughter's perspective, Ellen, the do's and don'ts as someone's trying to journey, you know, far away from home?
Well, I think one of the things I wish I had realized earlier is that there is no perfect job, and that's okay. The fact that no one really cops to it when they're preparing you to enter into the workforce really surprised me once I actually realized it. And so I think I'm really grateful that I didn't wait around for that perfect job to find me, because then I would still be sitting on my parents' couch. And I think that was one of the most important things for me to keep in mind. The other would be that they tell us to be adventurous, and to be adventurous requires bravery, but you only have to be a little brave. Like, you don't have to go and completely save the world or completely change everything or start an orphanage or like completely like dig 5,000 wells or something. You just have to be the little bit of brave that it takes you to get on the plane or to accept that job on the other side of the world or to move even just across town. And that's all it requires. And that's what I didn't realize at first, was it's really just little bits of bravery that add up to making you courageous enough to take the bigger adventure.
We parents need to be a little brave, too.
Exactly. It works both ways. It's a lovely memoir, Love Will Steer Me, True, a Mother and Daughter's Conversations on Life, Love, and God, written by my guests, mother and daughter team of Jane and Ellen Knuth. It was a pleasure to meet you and talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Cindy speaking with the two authors. Jane and Ellen have 3 book signings coming up. You can find details at michiganradio.org.